Thank you, Father. Let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. They have been tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Poor, many troubles, but they still had the joy. Amen. They have the joy, they have the peace. And you have the peace of God in you all along because the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's a spirit of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you, not like the world. The world, there'll be trouble in the world, but my peace is in you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy. We thank you for the peace of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We thank you, Father, we can bring our tithes in honor of you, worship you, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you, Father, for blessing the remaining that we have. And thank you, Father, that the seed that we bring, that we sow, shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say, amen. Thank you, Father. Today, I'm talking to you about faith. It's the assurance and the evidence of our hope. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about hope. Amen. We are still on the subject of hope. But faith is assurance and evidence of our hope. We studied about getting God's kind of hope from His Word last week. And the Heavenly Father swears by His promises and by the blood covenant that anything He promised will not change. What He promised in His Word gives us hope because His promises do not change. And He swears by His Word because His Word does not change. God is not a man who lies, and when He speaks, He will be. Amen. And when He plans something, He will do it. And the reason why, you know, people messed up is because they stray off from God's plan. When you stray off from God's plan, of course you'll be in trouble, right or not? And you won't have peace. There's no peace in this world. There's only peace that's in your heart. Amen? There'll be trouble in the world, right? When you stray away, you know, make a mistake, you stray away from God's plan, of course you're going to be troubled. The problem is not God's plan. The problem is you stray off from God's plan. Amen? And the problem is, you know, a lot of Christians like that, they blame God, they blame the church, they don't go to church anymore. Why not? And they think they have peace. I mean, even you go and live in the mountains, you live in the mountain, right? You think there's peace there? No, you worry about the storm that's going to come, and you worry, don't know which animal is going to crawl in, right? When your sulfur runs out, then you worry about the snakes that are going to come in. The morning when you wake up, you want to put on your shoe, you want to make sure there's no snake hiding in the shoe. Correct? Now, there's no peace. Amen. If you're humble enough, you don't blame God. You don't blame His plan. I always say, you know, you look at yourself. You know, in the past, when anything happened to this church, I say, first and foremost, it's my fault. Because I'm in charge of the church. You are in charge of your own life, okay? You messed up means you blame yourself first. So I say, it's my fault. I mean, if you are in charge of the company, it's true, right or not? No matter how it's messed up, major or minor messed up, right or not? So, what He promised in His Word gives us hope because His promises does not change and He swears by His Word and the blood covenant of Jesus. The only one who doesn't make mistakes on this earth was Jesus, the Son of Man. The only man who never made mistakes was Jesus, okay? But yet He suffered. If you think you don't make mistakes on this earth, you can forget about it. Right on. You're bound to make mistakes. Question is, how big the mistake, how costly it can be, and whether you can recover from it or not. Amen. Look, read today's paper. This couple retired, has a home that's worth $20 million, but you don't have enough cash to live. Why? You want to hold on to the $20 million home. Could be for sentimental reasons. Then struggling with cash flow. Not enough cash for expenses, but sleeping in a $20 million home. And in the papers, he said, you know, if the person that sold this $20 million home could have bought a nice place in Orchard Road and still got plenty of money left over. But then why is this person living in a $20 million home and not enough cash for daily expenses? Wrong decision? Or not making the right decision? Or sitting there and make no decision? Right? So we have hope from the promises, and God's kind of hope is the anchor of our soul. That's what we studied last week. From His promises, He gives us hope and the future. And they anchor our minds, emotions, and will. You think you can find, you know, peace in your mind and your emotions with your friends and the world? Forget it. Okay? The only one that anchors your mind, your will, is the hope of God. Amen. And it gives us peace because there's already peace in our hearts. Learn to listen to your spirit in there. The spirit of peace is dwelling inside you. If you look to the world, look to your friends for answers, there's no peace. And there's the same story in the papers today. 4 out of 10 in America, mostly in California and New York, they have a home but don't have enough cash for expenses. I was telling somebody, I said, thank God we live in this country, right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Now, we're talking about this hope. This hope that's from God is strong and trustworthy. It anchors our soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your emotions, your will. Right on. And it leads us. Amen. This hope will lead us. If you don't let the hope of God lead you, then you let it won't lead you. The thoughts, the thinking of your friends, you know, all that, whatever they say, they may make the right decision for themselves. And you cannot base on their decision, how they make decision for themselves, to apply it on yourself. Amen. This hope is strong and trustworthy. It anchors your soul. It stables your mind so that you don't sway. It anchors your emotions so that you don't, one moment you're up, the next moment, now take control of your emotions. Right? Then let it anchor your will, make the right decisions. Then it will lead you. The hope that's trustworthy and strong, because this is the hope of God, will lead you. What are you led now? By your emotions? The hope of God comes from His word or promises, and He will give us general direction to seek further direction from Him. That's why He leads us. Many a times, you know, the word of God that goes forth, and somebody needs to hear, I don't even know at all. Praise God. But I do. I'm still on the right track, talking about the hope of God. So His hope leads us in a general direction, and as we seek Him, He'll lead us more specifically. For example, if somebody is terminally ill and there's no hope that medication can heal him, there's no hope in nature. So what do? Exodus, now we read this last week. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, He said, "For I'm the Lord who heals you." The word heal has a substitutive meaning, means healer or physician. If there's no hope from doctors and medical science, and these scriptures, these promises, this word from God, the nature of God, He said, "I am the Lord, your healer, a great physician," then I got my hopes. I have hope now. When there's no hope with medical science, I mean, 3 years ago, there was no hope. When the COVID hit, I mean, people were dying like flies, man. Right now. So when He said He's a great physician, then there's hope. Another example, young people are looking into the future, or you may not be looking into the future. It's okay. Don't look. Forget it. In Singapore, you can survive. The most, you know, go on East Coast, they pitch a tent. There's a toilet there. You can shower and shave, right? And there's McDonald's there. By 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I'm sure they got some leftover, you know. Or just get a fishing line. I got a friend who fish very well. Bedok Jetty, you can always go and fish. You get some fish there. Then, okay, I'll give you some matches. You can light some fire and barbecue. Fish, you survive. Right on. People, America, they just go and live by themselves in the forest, in the mountains, because they couldn't hack it anymore. So that's their escape. I would rather go in China and live in some of the mountains up there. Every mountain in China has a temple, except the mountain in Shanghai. Only one mountain in whole China, I was told, there's a church. It's the mountain in Shanghai. And if I'm not wrong, it's a Catholic church. Every mountain in China has a temple out there. So if you don't mind living in a temple, then you can go find any mountain. If you want to find a church, it's only one in Shanghai. So you can always go up there and live up there. Right now. If you cannot hack it anymore, you know. I just read in the papers how people got scammed through surveys. And sometimes they download the app and then they want to get, you know, a discount or something like that. How do you get scammed? But you live up the mountain, probably you won't get scammed, but in China Mountain, they all got Wi-Fi. Even Himalayas, they install 5G up there, so everywhere you go, you can still get scammed, right? So young people, you know, they have aspirations and expectations. In China, with millions graduating from university and economic situation could be better, many have to do food delivery. The future seems bleak, especially for those not knowing the Lord Jesus. But for the believers, they can have hope. Amen. The hope is found here, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. If you don't want God's plan, don't pray. Just plan yourself. Plan your own life, you know. Get your friend to help you to plan. Listen to your friend. Listen to whoever out there, you know. Just plan your own life, like, see how much peace you have, right? There are plans for good and not for disaster. Give you a hope in the future. Not for disaster. I mean, you got in a mess. It's a minor disaster. It definitely wasn't God's plan. You must have strayed from God's plan, right? Now, if you stray from God's plan, what do you do? Lord, I missed it, Lord. It cannot be you, what? Correct, Lord? Joash, you employed the wrong man. My fault, man. You employed the wrong man who doesn't cook properly. My fault, man. God's fault, man. Right, Lord? Huh? There are plans for good and not for disaster. If whatever decision you made, it has been a disaster, then it's definitely not God's plan. Have enough sense to know, amen? Don't go and blame God. Don't go and blame His plan. Don't blame His purpose. Don't blame His church. Amen? So there's hope, you know, up to you whether you want God's kind of hope or you don't want it. Up to you. The choice is yours. So faith is the assurance and evidence of hope. For yesterday's surveys on drinking is more specific. People drink every day. People drink once a week. People who don't drink once a week. There are still detrimental effects. Anyway. Faith is the assurance and evidence of our hope. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is a substance. The word substance also means assurance, trust and confidence of things we hope for. And this hope comes from God. That's why faith becomes a substance, the assurance or confidence or trust. Amen. The word evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Things is the evidence of things not seen. It's the assurance, trust, and confidence of the God's kind of hope that we have, we acquire, we got from the Word of God. Amen. Now, let's study this. God knows the end from the beginning, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is right here. Faith is assurance, trust, confidence of the things we hope for. If you got no hope, you have faith, it's still no good. Because you have faith, but you got no hope. You gave up. I gave up. You have hope, but you have no faith, also no good. Right? So faith is a substance of assurance, trust, and confidence of the things we hope for. I don't want to talk about the plan of God. Plan of God gives us hope. You don't want, the only hope you find is what the school tells you, what your friends tells you, what your family tells you, what others tells you, what the world tells you. And the world tells you half is not true. Half your friend tells you, you know, worse if they're not Christians. Bible really warns you, Psalm chapter 1, do not seek the counsel of the ungodly. You can get information from the ungodly and get wisdom from God to use those information. Do not let your friend's counsel guide you. He sees the end from the beginning. God sees the end from the beginning. From the beginning, He sees what is the end. Right now, you don't see. I don't want God's plan. I don't want God's hope. You can see better than Him. God can see the end. Then, you know what He does? He plans. Amen? He plans because He can see. Amen? He planned for who? He planned for His children. This guy here, this bloke, running the race, his journey on earth to the end. His end, not the end of the world. By the way, end times here. When Jesus died and rose again, end time began. In His plan, He gives us a future because the future is about not now, but near future, distant future, your destiny, your final future. He can see, He plans. You can run His plans, fine. And He gives you hope. And that's the God kind of hope that's found in the plan of God. And the plan of God is found in the Word of God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for example, there are other scriptures. It's in His Word. So the Word of God gives us hope, but His Word, when we receive His Word, He also gives us faith. Can you see that? From His Word, we find hope, God kind of hope. From His Word, when we hear it, receive it, we have faith. Amen. Then faith becomes the assurance of our hope. If you don't want God's plan, you are not only rejecting the God's kind of hope, you are rejecting the faith that you receive. Right? Hope is just hope. Without faith, is just wishful thinking. When you get your hopes from God, I hope, you know, live a peaceful life. Wishful thinking. That's all. You don't get it from God. Amen. It's just wishful thinking. Yes, you can make it with your own abilities. There are a lot of people made it. Very successful. They don't need God. They don't want God. They come to a point, they become so rich until they retire. They don't want God. But they don't know where they are going. They end up in hell. It's going to be worse off. Huh? That means hope of God will become a reality in our lives. He will give us faith to realize the hope. When we get hope from God's word, we also have faith, because faith comes from hearing, hearing from the spoken word. We heard, amen. So here, we heard Exodus early on, 15 verse 26. He is my great physician. I refuse to die of sickness and disease. You know why I dare say that? Because he's my great physician. So I have hope and I have faith to believe that I can live and die without sickness and disease. Pastor, you saying you're not going to get sick? No, I'll ever get sick. I'll get healed, then I die. Amen. Because he's my great physician. Amen. But since he has a plan for me, because he sees the end from the beginning, right? Then his plan gives me hope. And his plan gives me faith. And hope means looking forward to something happening or expecting something to happen. Something good. Because his plan gives us a hope. He gives us a future. It will be good and no disasters. Amen. So hope meaning is assurance. Because hope is a substance. Substance means assurance. Means assurance. Means trust. Means confidence. Of what we are looking forward to. Something happening. If you give up on this, looking forward to something good to happen in your life, you're finished. Because faith will not work. When you give up your hope, your faith won't work. When you give up your faith, then you rely on your own abilities. Then depends on how good you are, how smart you are. Elon Musk, very successful. Amazon founder, very successful. Right? Jack Ma, very successful. If you can, do it then. Without the hope from God and the faith of God, what are you saying? Then you don't need the church. You don't need to hear me every Sunday. Right? Then you might as well spend time, you know, with your friend on Saturday night until wee hours in the morning. Then sleep in on Sunday, because you can make it by yourself. Right on. So I'm very real. I'm not saying that everybody cannot achieve by themselves. Right? Cannot achieve success. That's not true. I cannot tell you that, because, you know, you look at Elon Musk, you know, all the Saudi princes, they got billions, right? So hope means looking forward to something happening and expecting. Since the Lord is our great physician, we look forward to our complete healing, expect to return to normal life. According to Jeremiah 29, he sees the future, he knows the end from the beginning, he has a plan, and he will do it. Then our faith and hope are strong. Faith is a substance, means trust, confidence, and assurance. So that faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. It's our assurance, trust, and confidence that something we are looking forward to will happen. Amen. Unless you abandon God's plan. So faith that comes from hearing from God's Word is our assurance, trust, and confidence that something we look forward to will happen. What is the difference between faith and hope? Hope is about the future. Faith, you receive the Word. Faith is now. You have it. You have it. You don't abandon your faith. You have it, you hold fast to your faith. You have it, you continue to believe in the midst of adverse circumstances. You abandon your faith in believing there's hope. Well, praise God. If this message for anybody is for somebody who has not abandoned his faith or not abandoned his hope. People who abandon, God's not going to speak. God is not stupid. You understand? If you don't hear from him, he won't speak to you. God is someone you want it, you approach him. Amen? Else he just kept silent. I told you the story about the Bible school student. Bible school I went to. God had Kenneth Hagin. He's a major prophet. Tell that boy, I see you. No, he's going to die. And Brother Hagin in front of the class, and in those days the class is 2,000 of students. He say, you can't see me. He didn't want to go and see him. Three times he didn't want to go and see him. And one weekend, he collapsed. And Brother Hagin got 300-400 students, prayed 4 nights for him. God said, Don't pray for him. He will die. A lot of things about grace, preachers don't understand. The Holy Spirit says, and Brother Hagin could recognize him. He said, why are you not taking hold together with me and against the situation? He said, no, I'm not going to take hold together with you and pray him out of his death because he will not come and see you for his counsel. Why counsel? He needs to tweak his thinking, change whatever. If you don't change what you say, there's nothing God can do for you. You understand? He died at an early age. Another time, alumni go back for seminars. Oh man, a couple of hundreds of them. Brother Hagin's a prophet. He just said, come next year, three of you not here. Next year, three of them died. Next year, seminars, three of them are not there. They died. I have that tape. No, I listened to that tape. Next year, when the three of them died, he said the same thing. He said, next year again, three of you won't be here. But one of you, if you come and see me, you will live. That guy lived. Why? Did Brother Hagin was so great that changed him? No. Counsel him, he has to make the decision. And there are people who make the decision since they're young. They say, I will not live past 40 years old. Before 40, they hit 40, they die. Because spiritual forces have been set in motion long time ago. And you cannot get them to change that. There's nothing you can do for them. Amen? Thank you, Father. So faith that comes from hearing from God's words is our assurance. Hope is about the future. It's in the future. Faith is now. When you hear God's word spoken, you have faith. Now you believe what the Lord is speaking to you. You cannot wait for it to happen, then believe. You must believe now. When faith comes, now faith. That's why now. Now faith is, not future. Now. Now when you hear from him, now faith is. Now faith is. Now faith is. Now faith is. And you must believe now. You cannot wait for it to happen, then you believe. Oh, it never works. You wait for that what you expect to happen, then you believe, you actually nullify your faith. You just block your faith and it will not happen because your faith been blocked by yourself. Why? Because God sees the future now. He spoke to you now. And he speaks to you now what he sees. And you must believe what he sees. Faith is believing. What do you believe? Believe what God sees. He sees the future that you don't. You want to go by what you seek? Forget it. You understand? What do you know about tomorrow? What do you know about 1 year from now? About yourself? What do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? End time started when Jesus died and rose again. You're waiting for end time? Forget it. You're waiting for the mark of the beast? They're already here. The mark of the beast, the devil is at work now. Just said he couldn't do anything because the church is still on earth. The salt of the earth. What's the salt for? Going to eat some salted fish, you understand why. Salt preserves, has a quality, it's a preservative quality. It preserves the earth. The church is the salt of the earth. The church is the light of the world that dispels darkness. You wait until the beast comes. You're waiting for the mark of the beast. Mark of the beast is here. Amen. You must believe and release your faith now. You must believe what the Father sees. If he speaks to you, you have a future. If you believe him, then you say you have a future. And you have hope. Amen. I had a relief after that Saturday night when we prayed for Barry. Before I asked him, how? You found your accommodation in Netherlands? No. That was Sunday. But then Saturday, we had the Holy Ghost fire service. We prayed for him. And I had a relief. And when Barry kind of said, Pastor, let me update you, Miss Good News. He said, oh man, I told him, he said, you are going to find those foreign students who have studied there and going to ask them where to look for accommodation. Somehow, right, he found somebody from his same university and who has studied there. And then the girl told him where to go, which website going to look for accommodation. Then I had a relief. And then I said, what do you ask? Each thing I studied abroad, you know, she looked for accommodation. He can say, I'll help you, you know, I'll help you Google. I didn't have the relief. After the prayer, I had the release. I felt, Then Sunday, he said, Pastor, let me update you. And last Sunday, he said, I haven't found a place, but now it looks like he found a place, right? You found a place, right? Praise the Lord. So why is faith the assurance and evidence of what we hope for in the future? Because faith is from His Word. His Word is our assurance and evidence of what we do not see. His Word is based on what He sees. Amen? He sees, He speaks. Amen not? That's why Jesus didn't have faith. Jesus don't need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That means when God speaks to us, we have faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. But God and Jesus see the end from the beginning. So there's no such thing as Jesus' faith. Now, when He's on earth, yes, He walked by faith. But now He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is God. Jesus doesn't have faith. He doesn't need faith because He sees the end. He sees the end of the whole world. He sees the end of your life. He sees the next milestone of your life. Amen. His Word is based on what He sees. His Word is our evidence. His Word is our evidence. Amen. Now the journey in God's plan begins. Journey in God's plan. Because you pray that out, you walk it out. Well, you may miss a few, you know, along the way, you may miss it. Well, let's see what's going to happen. Along the way, there are milestones. The Lord's plan will lead us from one milestone to the next. Milestones can be turning points or breakthroughs. That's Google definition of milestones. Turning points or breakthroughs. You missed it, you need a breakthrough. Or sometimes you keep going this way, right? You need a breakthrough. In your career, you need a breakthrough. The Lord's plan will lead us from one milestone to the next. Amen. Along the way, you make a decision, but be sure you consult the Lord and know His leading, because He knows you and sees what is in the unseen and the days ahead. The Lord sees the end from the beginning, then He plans for you. Amen. So, faith is a substance assurance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of things we do not see. Why is the evidence? Because He sees, He speaks to us. Then His Word, what He has spoken to us, is good enough. It's evidence. It's enough for me to move on, to journey on earth. Amen? It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't need to see. He sees. I just need to walk by faith. I just need to hear from God. But He has not been speaking. Then what was last that He has spoken? That's enough for me. The last thing He spoke to me is, go back and start a church. That's it. And He was silent since that day until today. So what do? I continue to pastor this church till the end. Either the end of the age or the end of my life on earth. Amen. Now, look at this. So, you've seen this before. We have made our spirit, soul, and body. Now, the hope of God comes from His Word. It's an anchor. Why? It anchors our emotions. It's okay, lah. Sometimes your emotions get topsy-turvy, you know, just go back to the hope of God and anchor it back there. I'm not saying your emotions don't sway. If with the hope of God, your emotions still can sway, because we are created with emotions. And it's meant to feel differently. We feel good, if we don't feel good. It's meant that way. We are not robots. Right now. But don't let it sway until, you know, you sway until it, whatever happened. Bring it back. How? Get the hope of God. Bring it back. Anchor it. Then it will sway you back. Your mind. I mean, with this information age, digital age, my goodness, man, you might get bombarded with all kinds of stuff. I don't read everything in the newspaper. There are a lot of things I skip. For example, crimes, all that, I don't read. I don't read all the scams. When I read newspaper, I also follow my heart. I just read the one that they did the survey one. Somebody did a survey, got scammed. And true enough, yesterday a message came in. Say, are you Pastor Yu Kuang? I replied, yes. Normally, plus one is from US. Plus one, you know, the area code. And normally, once it's plus something else. Very simple. I don't know anybody who messaged me from US. From Africa, definitely. I only know one pastor there. I have his number. And whoever wants to message me from US, I know them, I'll know their number. Right? Those number I don't know, normally I block. But this one, I answer yes. Sometimes it's very dangerous to be curious. But you must know where to cut off. I want to do a survey, straight away I block. You let them talk, especially now people who scam you, you're letting the devil talk to you. Right or not? And you know why people fall in the scam? Because they listen to the devil's talk. Right? You know pressure selling? Man, last time, very popular. Oh, you want this gift, you come and collect. You sit there 3 hours with a cheap gift and they pressure sell you timeshare. And now, oh my goodness, you kena once, you know already. Next time, you definitely won't. So, then, faith comes into your spirit. It's the assurance of confidence of what you hope for, and that will anchor. If you don't have this, your mind will sway, emotion will sway. So we wait for what we hope for with perseverance. What do you expect? It's in the future, right? You don't need to persevere, man. Romans chapter 5, verse 25. For we hope for what we do not see. Hope is in the future you do not see. Amen? We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And sometimes it's translated as endurance. Amen? I always say, don't never spoil your child. You need to train them how to endure. You need to train them how to persevere. While we journey in life, we wait for what we hope for with perseverance because it will not be seen. It will not be easy. It's not seen. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom or through Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. Remember, faith comes, with faith we access the grace and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. That means his hope, his faith comes by the grace of God. Amen. As we walk by faith in His plan, we access His grace that enable us to continue the journey according to His plan for the future and hope. Now, there are milestones, right now, as you go. This may be your final destiny, but there are milestones. It may not be just one, they're probably milestones. Amen. If you ever stray off from, you messed up, it's simply you got out of God's plan. Amen. Before you hit the next milestone. Right? But He has a plan to rescue you, to get you back on track. Thank you, Father. So, look at this. So, the Word of God gives us hope. From His Word, we draw the hope of God. From His Word, we receive, we have faith. From faith, we journey and we go forward. We access by faith into the grace of God. Right? His plan is His grace. His faith also is His grace too. Into this grace. What grace? The grace of the plan of God for your life. The grace of God, hope for your life. The grace of God, future for your life. You access by faith His grace in which we stand and rejoice. You know why you need to stand? Because the devil is trying to shake you off. Trying to get you off track. Catch you trying to get you go off so that you don't reach the milestone. Right on. That's why we need to stand on faith. We need to stand on the faith. By His grace we stand, and then we rejoice in hope. Amen on. Joy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. By faith, we have access to this grace, the grace of His plan, the grace of God's hope for me, and grace of God's future for me. And by this grace, I stand, and I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Of course, there is a glory. And I said, the glory of God is the power of God. And the power enables to walk. And if you ever stray off, you stray off from His grace, then you cannot rejoice. Right? It's a very simple test. I mean, if you keep having no peace, man, you cannot rejoice. Man, you dread doing something. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Right? But some preachers are worse. They insist it's God. But it doesn't gel. Because the result they produce doesn't gel. So if you insist on your way, the price you pay is going to be high, right? So as we walk by faith in His plan, we access His grace and enable us to continue our journey according to His plan for a future and a hope. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we rejoice. We can rejoice because, you know, we talk about joy also, right, when we give. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance and perseverance to continue our journey. Hello, you want peace? There ain't no peace on earth. There's only one peace. There's only peace in your spirit. And let that govern your soul. Else there's no peace in this world. Amen. Since Adam and Eve sinned against God, that's it. Rejoice. Why? Because the problems and trials will develop perseverance. Amen. Four things will help you not to give up. Paul did not deny the sufferings of Christians. Instead, he told us that suffering will produce perseverance. Perseverance is one of the most important traits for a believer, actually for anyone. The important thing is that God has a plan for you and does not change His mind. It takes perseverance to stay in the plan of God, not deviate from it. Once you deviate from it, you don't want God's plan. You don't want Him to rescue you. Very simple. He can always rescue you because He can see you when you're going to mess up, right? So what God's going to do? Sorry, I got no plan. I don't know what to do with you. No, He knows what to do with you. He knows how to restore you. He knows how to get you back on track. If you still want His plan, because it's in His plan. Restoration is in His plan. The important thing is that God has planned for you and does not change His mind. It takes perseverance to stay in the plan of God and do not deviate from it, abandon it, or stray from it. You are to persevere to stay in the plan and the will of God. Four things will help you not give up or persevere. Know what is the Father's will for you. That's in the plan. Two, I mean, if you're a student, praise the Lord. God's will is for you to study. The question is where to study. That's another issue. Know that God never changes His mind concerning His will or His plan for your life. You may change. He doesn't. Thirdly, know you have to persevere when you stay at doing the Father's will and you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. Fourthly, make the determination to persevere. Amen. I cannot help you. You have to decide. Right? Perseverance is steadfast patience in endurance. Let me just say it again. Perseverance is steadfast patience in endurance. It is the power to withstand hardship or stress, especially the inward fortitude necessary. The Bible dictionary, one of the dictionaries. Perseverance is steadfast patience in endurance. It is the power to withstand hardship or stress, especially the inward fortitude necessary. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. An endurance of perseverance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope. It strengthens your confident hope. Amen. The hope that's from God. Character. Perseverance will produce character. The experiences that suffering brings will produce proven character, the quality of being proven to be dependable or reliable. What kind of character you want to be? Unreliable? Even your family or children cannot rely on you? You can rely on me, but you don't have the character. Hello? The worst thing is your children cannot rely on you. You understand? I told you the story. My father don't earn much. He's reliable. I told you before, my mother always gets scolding. 5 o'clock, he comes back from work. You see the children has not eaten. He refused to eat. He gets upset. You know who gets it? My mother gets it. So why don't you get the children to eat first? He refused to eat because his children has not eaten. Many years back, I told my father, I said, I want to go and study abroad. He went to my auntie. He said, lend me 15,000. I'll pay you back with my CPF. Tell me. He will go and borrow the money. Send me. He asked me how much you need for a year. I don't know how much I told him. He went to. By the time, my cousin's business was bad, so he couldn't borrow. He didn't tell me. He never told me that. My auntie told me. He said he came to borrow from 15,000 because you want to study abroad. He said he used his CPF, his retirement fund, you know. I can rely on him. I can depend on him. He will do what is necessary because I want to go and study abroad. Of course, he didn't borrow. I didn't go. But 1 year later, he died. I remember, you know, 1 year, not long. He died of cancer. Well, he smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. How can anybody rely on you if you don't have that character? But how can you have the character if you don't have perseverance to develop the kind of character? Right? You want the best from God. Question you cannot handle. That's why He's developing you. Right or not? He knows if He don't develop you, He leads you to that place that He has planned for you, He will destroy you, you're finished. That's why long before you reach that place, He develops you. When you have godly parents in this church, you got children, you remember that. You let God use you to develop your children. Amen. When you put them in play school, it's not just play school. You put them in infant care, it's not infant care. All you know, God is developing them. You don't develop them, you want God's best for them. God can plan great plans for them. They may not be able to handle it. When they get there, they fall like flies. You don't want to develop your character. You want to be there. You cannot even handle the wealth their parents handed to you. You squandered them all. All your parents' hard work, you know. You squandered it all because you don't have the character to handle it. Where do you get characters from? Perseverance. There's no other way. Teach your children how to persevere in the play, in whatever activities you are doing with them on Saturday, not on Sunday, because right? You just think, does it help to develop them to persevere in life? Because it will develop character in them. I mean, that's the greatest thing you can give to them. It's not your wealth, you know. You develop character in your children's lives. John's friend, come back here from holiday. Take the father's money. Earn her keep, pay her way. Father can afford. Parents not poor. She flew back here, pay her way. She's a student, the university student right now. She didn't just, Daddy, can you buy me an air ticket? I mean, it's not easy to study and work, you know. I've tried that before. So the best time is, you know, when they start to walk, you learn to train them to persevere. One thing the Bible school taught us, what they did with their children. I remember the Pastor Egan's daughter said, I want to play football, soccer. The father said, that's not your area. Oh, I want to play soccer. Fine. But you must finish the season. That means you don't abandon. Man, she struggled. But the father said, you finish the season because you asked for it. She finished the season. Okay, that's it. Enough. No more soccer. But in life, when her marriage broke, it didn't break her life. You understand? That's Pastor Higgins' daughter. Brother Higgins' granddaughter. They have very strong will, like grandfather like that. Brother Higgins is very strong will. The instructor told me, don't play chess game with him. You won't sleep, okay? If you lose to him, he'll play until the next morning until you lose. Okay? That's how strong the will is. And it's channeled for God, that's good. Why not? They're adamant about when God tells him to do something, he just, but you play games, you better don't play with him. You're better than him, you better don't play. He said, Brother Higgins, I don't want to play with you. If you know you're better than him, you don't play. Because he lose the game, he said, let's play again. He lose the game, let's play. Let's play. The only way for you to stop, you lose. You purposely lose. That's what they told me. I mean, the instructor told me, they purposely lose, you know, so that they can go home and sleep, you know. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, you need a strong will to persevere, correct? No? And you know, you develop what kind of character? The character that doesn't give up. I mean, when he grew up 9 years old, his father abandoned the whole family. He grew up broken. But did he break their life? No, he became a very successful minister of the gospel. But of course, he did something to his character. He becomes very reserved. He said that, you know, when you go out lunch with him, sometimes 1.5 hours, he doesn't talk. He doesn't say a word. Can you imagine you go out lunch? Wow, God, the prophet will say something, man, bless me. You just eat and then you go. 1.5 hours, just eat and go. But they found a way, you know. You ask the right questions. Wow, he would talk nonstop. So he developed a different kind of character, kind of more introvert, you know. But that doesn't make him a failure in life. You understand? No? Your surroundings does not determine your future failure or success. Amen? It may mold a different character in you, but doesn't cause your failure. Amen. And it takes perseverance to develop the character. So life on earth is not going to be easy. There will be difficult times. But do you have the character that God may entrust you with his plan? The Father will not lead us into suffering because there's no need to. The devil will see to it. But the Father will also not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond your strength. That's the scripture. You can handle it. Pick yourself up and move on. The Holy Spirit who is given to us by the Father is indwelling in us. He is our strengthener. He strengthens us to persevere. When you are going through suffering, ask the Heavenly Father, what your life purpose is and think about it. God's purpose is the Father's will for your life. Think about the purpose why you should live. God's purpose will have His power to enable you and strengthen you, your mind, for a breakthrough supernaturally. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Amen. God kind of hope will never lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Very simple. You know why? He plans for us and He never disappoints. Very simple. He just loves us. Unconditional. This love is unconditional, unfailing love. Why it's called unfailing? Because He does not fail. But if you choose not to have His plan, stay away, you don't want His plan. You ask for it, okay? Amen. Hope, the proven, dependable, or reliable character that suffering produces in you will bring you hope. That's the kind of hope from God. Surely, the God-given purpose will produce hope, and His hope will not disappoint us. How can we be sure? My hope is from God. I know there's hope and a future for me. Why is it from God? Because the Father sees to it that I'm healed. His power vested in the name of Jesus ensured I'm delivered. So my hope is from God and in the Heavenly Father. My aspiration, inspiration are my hopes in the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. It is my inspiration because my hope in the Heavenly Father inspires me to pray, believe, and to look into the future with a good outcome. My hope in God inspires my confidence that things will work out just right for me. Amen. My hope in the Heavenly Father and in the Lord Jesus enable me to aspire to be what He has planned for me to be. It inspires me to aspire and to achieve my destiny. Why? Because of the love of God. Why will I hope and not disappoint? Because of the love of the Father has been poured into my spirit by the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. This love is the unfailing love of the Heavenly Father. Unfailing love means it will not fail. God will not fail. God is love and His love will not fail. The Father gives us hope as we persevere through difficult times. His hope in us is the anchor of our soul. His love for us is beyond anything. He does not bring us any suffering. Then if you don't want God, you blame God, then you're saying God brings the suffering to you, right or not? It's your own decision. Then mess yourself up. Don't blame God. Get back into the plan of God. Just say, Lord, I messed up. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on me. You don't need to pray long prayers. Simple. I messed up. Have mercy on me. Thank you for your grace to help me. Dang, let's move on. Amen. He loves us far beyond anything. He would bring us any suffering. He only allows it because there's nothing He can do. You want to have your way, there's nothing He can do. That's why you mess up. Very simple. Purpose for our living is from the Heavenly Father, which is hope. Then His love will never let Him fail us because His love is beyond comprehension. His love for us is beyond extreme. The Father is love, and love is the whole being of the Father. Love will never fail us. Love will never let us fail or abandon us to fail. What should we do then? We hold fast to His hope and purpose to love with the tenacity of a bulldog. A time will come, we surely will break out and break through any suffering. Love is the power of our strength. Love is supernatural. Love is beyond comprehension. We can do all things with the Father's love, for Christ will strengthen us. Love will think the best and believe the best of anyone and every situation, best for myself too. Right? Love will believe we will succeed. Love is the only strength of our being to overcome all circumstances. Love is the only force that cannot be defeated, and we have His love. And not say, I love, no, He loves you. That's the love that cannot be defeated. Not by my love. I love you, God. You love Him because He put His love in you to love Him. Right now, you know why love is supernatural? Love is a force that cannot be defeated. It's His love. Now put your focus back on His love because He loves you. Next question is, He loves me, what will He do? Patient, wait, persevere, He'll come through. Amen. Verse 6, and we were all utterly helpless. You know, Paul is the one who teaches us grace, you know. This is when we are utterly helpless. Christ came just at the right time. Okay, no need to read on. He always comes at the right time. If you abandon His plan, He cannot come. To restore you, rescue you, deliver you. Always the right time. Why didn't he come yesterday? He always come at the right time. Why didn't he come now? He always come at the right time. Stop the nonsense, he'll come. You know why it hinders him? Who hinders him from coming? You and your big self. That's all. You understand? Helplessness. If we feel hopeless and helpless, Jesus will always come through to us and for us at the right time. So there's always hope in God and faith in Jesus who never leaves us or forsakes us. It's our assurance of what we hope for. Amen. Praise the Lord.